Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Sherry Hoyt, and I'm your host for today. Joining me today is Fidelis Maparu, author of Tears Before Exaltation, a literary drama full of romance, suspense, and psychological intrigue. It is a stunning portrayal of survival and courage, friendship and loyalty, and compassion and love. Before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Fidelis. Fidelis Maparu was born in Onitsha, Nigeria. He is a Harvard-trained cardiologist, who has written medical articles for both scientific and lay audiences. His previous novel, Love's Affliction, was a 2016 Nautilus Book Award Silver winner for fiction, a Reader Views Literary Award winner, and a finalist for the 2015 Indie Fab Book of the Year Award for Multicultural Fiction. He lives in Canton, Ohio, USA. For more information about Fidelis Maparu and his books, visit his website at www.fidelismaparu.com. And that's www.fidelismkparu.com. Hi, Fidelis. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for having me this morning.
To begin, why don't you tell our listeners a bit about yourself?
I came to the U.S. of A. when I was 17 years old. That's more than 40 years ago, to go to college. I left home very early and attended college in the Carolinas. From there, I went to various other states before going to medical school. I'm a cardiologist. I trained in Boston for my cardiology fellowship, and I've been in Ohio for the past 22 years. And that's basically it. I still practice. I work full-time, and I try to find time to do what I love to do, which is writing books.
You're busy.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's fun doing what I love to do. I think that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is Tears Before Exaltation about?
It's about a young, bright medical student named Ben Ava. Basically, he's a struggling medical student. He lost his parents, and when he had a scholarship to attend a different medical center, because he was having a lot of financial problems, he lost his girlfriend, and he was left all alone in the world. He had no siblings and nobody else. It's basically a story about survival and about friendship and loyalty. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come up with the idea for this book?
I think one of the central things about Tears Before Exaltation is about loneliness, isolation and loneliness. I came up with the idea when my brother died. I had one brother and three sisters, and I traveled 6,000 miles for the funeral of my brother. As I was crossing the River Niger, this was in Nigeria, crossing the River Niger where I grew up, and all of a sudden I was overwhelmed with the loneliness because my parents were gone and my brother, who was the only one in the house, was gone. So I was driving to an empty place. So it brought back the memories of my time in Memphis when I was a third-year medical student. My life experience at that time, I was in a foreign country. I didn't have any family. I was all alone, so I had to face medical school by myself. And also it brought back some of my classmates I have forgotten over the past four decades. So I decided I was going to write about struggles with loneliness. And also, one of my coworkers here in Ohio had a sister who was just like a mother to her, who had cancer. And one day we sat down, she was talking about all the struggles she's been through as a child and also as an adult. And this is the only person she could rely on, and the sister was dying. And eventually, the sister died. So that was what motivated me to write about Tears Before Exaltation, about struggles and survival.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. I want to hear a little bit more about your protagonist, Ben Ava. how do you relate to him, and is there a bit of your personality reflected in his character?
Well, Ben is the ultimate medical student. He's dedicated, even though he's struggling with finances and the stresses of medical school. But he's the kind of person that you want to be. He's loyal to his friends. He's very upbeat about life. So he never let all the shortcomings that he had hold him down. So that's the person you want to be. Of course, there's a part of, I will say yes, there's probably a part of my personality in that, and also the person I wish I could be, the ultimate struggling man that knows how to survive without basically abandoning his friends. So, of course, there's a part of me in that, maybe the loneliness part of it, and also the survival instinct part of Ben. So those are the things I admire about the character.
Yeah, qualities to admire for sure. Now, you talked a little bit about Memphis. Why did you choose Memphis, Tennessee, as the setting for Tears Before Exaltation?
I had a scholarship to go to medical school in the state of Tennessee, and after the first 2 years, I had another scholarship to attend University of Tennessee Medical Center in Memphis. So I found myself in Memphis, and I guess I was drawn in by the music and the culture, and then also the river. The Mississippi reminded me of my hometown, Onitsha, where you have the River Niger. I remember walking up and down the river and just said, gee, if I closed my eyes, I felt like I was at home and I could hear the river flowing.
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing that drew me to write about experiences in Memphis. I just, in a way, was just going back to the life I had and then also the friends I had.
Yeah, it's almost like you felt a spiritual connection with the place. How does spirituality present in your life?
Well, I think just going back to an experience I had, there was one day I had a patient in the intensive care unit. The person was dying, and the person had no family. All the person wanted me to do was, even though I was a cardiologist there trying to take care of him, all he wanted me to do was to hold his hand. That was all he wanted, somebody to hold his hand before he had his final moment in the world. And I held his hand. It turned into 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
It was on a Thanksgiving day of all days, and eventually he died. And that actually changed my life completely. I remember shedding tears. And I remember just feeling lonely, not for me, just for him, because there was no one there to shed tears for him. And that is the spiritual aspect of medical care. It didn't have to do with medications I gave the person or anything else I did for the person, but just being there, knowing that there was somebody there for him before his last time on earth. So those kind of, actually, that's one of the stories that changed my life. I can talk about other things, but that particular one, I was never the same after it.
Yeah, that gives me goosebumps. Talk about the most peaceful moment in your life.
The most peaceful moment in my life, I have to go back to the river. The river is always the part that brings out what I want to be, the peace and the quietness in my life. I remember the day I was going for my brother's funeral. It was raining. I was crossing the River Niger, and it brought back memories of 50 something years before, when I first saw rainfall, drops of rain on the river, the little ripples that the rain will make. As I was crossing that, I closed my eyes, and I was in my mother's kitchen. I was just past the river. I was with my father. I was with everything that brought peace to me. But that particular experience of watching rainfalls on the river is one of those things that brought out everything that I cherish in my life. And I remember that same experience in Memphis when one evening I took care of a patient. The patient lost his leg, a 24-year-old. He didn't think there was anything else left to live for. as I was going home, I was shedding tears too. So I was walking up and down the Mississippi, and it started raining, and I saw those kind of ripples on the river. It brought peace back to my life. So that just those are some of the things that are a little bit spiritual too. It's kind of hard to explain to somebody how you feel, but that brings in a peace.
Yeah. Wow, you have such intense experiences. I love these stories. Keep going with that. What is your greatest fear in life?
My greatest fear is a fear of failure.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
People say, what motivates you? It's all various stages in my life. When I was leaving home at the age of 17, somebody asked my father, why are you letting your 17-year-old leave home so early? What if he goes there and messes up? All my father said, he's my son. I know him and I trust him. That was it. He didn't say anything else. So there was that fear of letting my father down. That kind of motivated me a lot. And then as I grew older, even when my parents are no longer, I'm still afraid of failing. So it makes me work harder.
Yeah, I think that's a big one for a lot of people, kind of just living up to expectations, whether someone else's or your own even. But
yeah, the fact that he trusted me and he believed that I would do the right thing. That it, in a way, some people may look at it as a burden, but it wasn't a burden for me. It was just that trust he had. So I tried not to let him down.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specialized in interviewing published authors about their current books and their areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast, as well as MP3 download from your computer for your convenience. Please visit us at InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Fidelis Maparu, author of Tears Before Exaltation. You can learn more about Fidelis and his books by visiting his website at www.fidelismaparu.com. What are some things you like to do when you're not writing or saving lives?
I love to travel. I love to look at nature. Not only traveling, right here in Ohio, there isn't really much to see. One of the things I love doing is getting in my car on the weekend and driving to the countryside. There are a few times that I love to drive around. One of the times is just after snowfall, driving around, looking at the farms and how it snows. Sometimes when it's windy, the kind of piles that you see from the wind blowing the snow, some of those crazy stuff. I would take photographs of that. So I love photography. So those are the kind of things. I love nature like that.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have a very artistic nature as well.
It's just an interest, looking at the forces of nature, what it creates. And instead of looking at the destructive aspect of nature, sometimes we forget to look at the creative aspect of nature. There's something beautiful about it, too.
Yeah, there are a lot of gifts in nature. So along those lines, what was the greatest gift you ever received?
The greatest gift I ever received, the gift of life from God. That's number one. There is nothing that will equal that. Then if you're talking about the greatest gift next to it, I would say the gift of love. I think that's one of the most important things that somebody can offer you. It's not a physical thing. It's something that you feel or that is there. Sometimes you don't even have to express it, but you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about love, it covers everything. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual. That's what we talk about, spirituality. It's a spiritual thing.
Right. I want to get back to your writing a little bit. Talk about your writing practice. Do you have a specific routine or schedule that you follow? Or?
I read every day and I write every day. Not everything I write has seen the light, but I try to write every day. I try to write something down. Sometimes it's how you feel at that moment. It doesn't have to be anything long. And also I try to read something every day because there is always something useful. I've gone back to reading historical things, maybe some of the things I missed reading or I read before that maybe I'm forgetting. So I go back and read them. And that's my routine. I have to write every day. I have to read every day. I have so many projects I want to work on, like books I want to write. I've written some of them. Like I've written like first few chapters. I have so many of them. Then I leave them alone. And because when I write, I just have to feel it. It's for me, writing is something that you immerse yourself in. It's not just something that you just go and write. So.
Right.
It depends on how I was feeling at that particular time. I'll go back and work on some of the projects I have, depending on my state of mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to write my book now. You know?
Yes.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't always work that way.
I was going to ask you if you had any other projects on the horizon. So your book, Tears Before Exaltation, it's just coming out now, right?
It's coming out March 16, 2018. That's when it will be released.
Okay.
And I have two other projects, and one of them has to do with young adults, and the other one has to do with also an issue about spirituality that we talked about. And those are the two projects I hope to finish in the next year or so.
Yeah, nice. So is the book about spirituality, is that going to be a nonfiction or fiction? Or do you know yet?
I'm writing about how I feel, and as the project proceeds, like when I wrote Tears Before Exaltation, I wanted it to be a biography, but I felt that my life was not that interesting. I had to write something that would bring in all the people I knew from medical school. I want to bring out a character that combines all the personalities of the people that I was very close to. Sometimes you may feel that what you're going to story, you want to tell a story that people relate to, people will love to read. So that will be one of the things that will influence whether it becomes a nonfiction or fiction, how to tell the story for people to appreciate it more, to be able to read it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel like, you know, oh, I don't have a really good story to tell. And sometimes, you know, fictionalizing that kind of helps to make it more interesting. So it's a great idea. Yeah. So what do you love most about being a writer?
Expressing myself and also doing something that other people may appreciate, writing something that may influence people or may improve their lives. That is what I want to bring out. Like when I wrote about Tears Before Exaltation, a part of it is about honesty, courage, and loyalty. So those are the things that sometimes maybe in our society we have forgotten about, what loyalty means, what friendship means. If you look at people I call my friends, sometimes they have the same standing as my family members. I will be willing to give up my life for them. So these are the things that we have forgotten. Some of us have forgotten. I will say that everybody has forgotten, but some of us have forgotten about what courage is all about, what loyalty is all about, and honesty, the most important aspect of it. And that's part of Ben's story. Part of Ben's story is honesty, courage, and loyalty.
Yeah. He goes through quite a lot for such a young medical student.
Oh, definitely. But the most important thing is that he never forgot who he is, and he never forgot his friends. He was always there for his friends, and that's the issue about loyalty and then also courage. The will to survive, perseverance.
A lot of times at his own expense, yeah.
So it kind of brings up the issue about if you call it the antagonist, the character of Brenda. Brenda was a person that was having some mental illness issue, alcoholism, but all these things stems from her past, what happened to her. And these are some of the issues as Ben tries to understand Brenda. Why is Brenda doing what Brenda is doing? And in this book, it will explore the effect of people's past on their current personality. And basically, the most important thing about the whole thing, the relationship between Ben and Brenda, is understanding and then being supportive. So that's the most important thing that I try to for my readers to get from the relationship between the two.
Right. What kind of response have you had from your readers so far?
There are some pre-release reviews that I have. And so far, I've had about seven reviews,
mm-hmm.
and everyone seemed to be excited about the project. And one of the things they talk about is the issue about honesty, courage, and loyalty, and Tears Before Exaltation. And a lot of people can relate to Ben and understanding the character and just putting themselves in his position, what would they do? And most importantly, perseverance, overcoming obstacles and things like that. So, yes, I've had reviews, and most of it's very encouraging. All of them are very encouraging.
That's great. So what has been your biggest challenge? Like for a lot of writers, writing the book is the easy part, and the marketing is kind of where it gets a little, I don't want to say difficult, but challenging.
Well, that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah.
you're trying to, if it's so easy, then it's not worth doing.
Yeah.
Well, I think the challenges are what makes the whole experience exciting, because you try everything possible to make sure that a lot of people get to know about your book. The challenge of marketing is a fun part. I want everybody. I want everybody that I can reach to know that Tears Before Exaltation has something for them in it.
What have you learned since writing your first book, Love's Affliction?
That wasn't even the first one. I wrote.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote the book. I just have not publicized. It's my last summer with you. No fanfare for Withered Rose. That was the first one I wrote. I go back and read it. I said, "Oh my God, I have so much to learn." But that was the process. That was one of the things that started me from writing, because of a phone call I received from a former schoolmate. So that was what triggered this whole thing, trying to put something down. Then I went to Love's Affliction. Love's Affliction was about experience of a young immigrant going through college and friendships and letdowns and disappointments and everything. One theme that is always, every book I write about, there has to be romance in it. There has to be romance.
I love that.
If there's no romance, then life is not worth living.
Right, right. No, that's awesome. Do you have any advice for aspiring authors?
Read and write every day. And also find somebody who is willing to basically edit what you write and tell you exactly what they think about it. That is the biggest thing that ever happened to me. Again, the right editor, the comments. When I wrote Love's Affliction, and I was fortunate to find a good editor, and the person wrote about four pages of critique and stuff like that. I was reading it, and tears almost came out of my eyes, because everything I thought I did right, they were just pointing out how to do it better. But that helped a great deal. That helped me a great deal. So editorial thing, even when you look at reviews people write, some of the ones that are negative or anything like that, instead of taking it that way, it's a learning experience for me, because it's a way for me to learn.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great advice too. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, one of the things I'm very appreciative of people that read my book, and actually that love people that love it, even the ones that don't love it, I appreciate the fact that they spend time to read it. Most of it, I've never really said that I found somebody I didn't like what I wrote or love what I wrote. But sometimes there are ways people have the ideas of how they want everything to end. Sometimes they don't like the way it ended. They wanted more and things like that. So, I like to write something everybody reads and enjoys. But most important thing is that I appreciate the fact that somebody takes their time to read something I've written. I think that's a big gift. Somebody can give to you, somebody that doesn't even know you sometimes, the fact that they took the time to read. So I'm very appreciative. That's one thing I don't know. I just don't know how to express it more than say that I'm really very thankful.
Fidelis, thank you so much for joining me today. I've enjoyed getting to know more about you and your book, Tears Before Exaltation.
Thank you for having me.
To our listeners, thank you for joining me today on Inside Scoop Live for my interview with Fidelis Mapariu. For more information on Fidelis's books, Love's Affliction and Tears Before Exaltation, please visit his website at www.fidelismapariu.com. And be sure to check out our other interviews at InsideScoopLive.com.